I'm Travis.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Emily, and you're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. We are serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously. This week on episode 68, we talk about the FWC commission meeting, black bear hunting in Florida, and the three R's. Plus, we draft our favorite TV theme songs.
What's new, Nate?
You know how a couple of weeks ago I talked about how cold it was?
Yep.
Well, it was basically hot back then.
Do you feel like what's new with Nate is basically a weather report?
Yeah, like, no,
it's basically
cool
the weather
that.
Segment.
No, because
I'm
listen,
cool
he's a Florida boy.
Right.
He's been transplanted into Georgia by lured by feminine wiles, if you will. And it's freezing.
Held sway? Has he been held sway?
He's been held sway. And it's cold AF, and he's having a hard time.
He's wearing...
Yeah.
He's inside a house, and he's wearing, like, a fleece and a shirt. I mean, dude looks like he's ready to go down the K-12.
You know, my basement apartment that I live in...
Yeah.
...is always, like, 10 degrees colder... than it is outside.
You're basically a hobbit. You live underground.
Yeah. No, it is very cold, and I don't really have a thermostat, so I can't control what's going on with the heat and stuff like that. I have a space heater, which has been life changing, but no, it's gonna be like 25 degrees tonight, I think.
That's
and
cold.
I'm sitting here thinking people actually live in this. Like, this is people
Nate,
function.
Nate.
Daily life.
Nate.
And
I'm
a cold
live
weather
in
guy.
That. You live in that now, buddy.
I know. I do now.
You're functioning in it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a cold weather guy. I like cold weather. But, man, when you're up, when you have to get up for work and your bare feet hit the bare floor and basically stick because they're frozen to it.
Yeah.
It's just not a fun. It's not a fun.
Are your feet wet?
No.
Is the floor 32 degrees?
Close.
Okay.
It's if close. You were to lick the floor,
would your tongue
freeze?
Yeah.
Probably. Yes, it probably would.
That's a good question, Em.
You know, I like to do the in-depth reporting.
What's new with you, Travis?
What's new with me is we've got the FWC meetings coming up the week after next. So we're actually going to be doing a segment here in a few minutes all about FWC, stuff we'd like to see. You know, kind of like a wish list and some discussion about that because we've gotten so many emails about it. But that's what's new with me. What is new with you, Emily?
Couple of things. I would like to start this What's New segment by apologizing to our listeners for last week's show not bleeping out some Pacific words.
That you or Kaylee said because Nate and I were clean as a whistle.
Yeah. I think most women are probably a little more potty mouthed than men, at least in my experience, that's true.
Kid friendly, weren't we, Nate?
We were.
Safe for work.
But we do try to keep it kid friendly to a point where we bleep out our body part mentions or curse words. So
yeah, you and Kaylee just let it fly.
I'm apologizing on your behalf because you edited that episode. And
I did. And I did not give two Fs about bleeping.
Okay. Second, what's new is we are officially selling shirts with our new logo at castandblastfl.com.
Boom. They're up there.
Boom.
Buy them. Buy the truckloads. Make us rich.
Or at least just help us
pay for the soundboards.
Yeah. Like, pay back for the soundboards.
If you guys if you guys were to buy 20,000 shirts, we would be about to break even. No, it's exciting. We finally got in the prototype. Like when we're recording this, we got the prototype in today.
Yeah. And just FYI on the shirt material, it's like, it's not a burnout tee, but it's super soft like a burnout tee. And it's the tri-blend t-shirts. And so they're not super tight. They fit really well.
Well, I go up a size because I think they are tight.
Well,
I think they're like an athletic fit.
Okay. If you're shaped like me, they fit fine.
Well,
if you're shaped like Travis, did go up a size.
Or me.
If you've been on the
I'll be,
Yeah,
I'll be looking for mine in the mail soon.
If you're on the breakfast pizza diet, then you probably want to go up a size.
Yeah, no.
The duck season diet.
Especially this duck season, there was a lot of eating and not a lot of shooting.
That's kind of weird because we are like on each end of the spectrum of the t-shirt.
Oh, for sure.
Like I get an extra small and you get...
whatever the biggest one they make is.
Yeah.
Practically. I think there's one size bigger or two sizes bigger. So this is like our fifth show in a row where we haven't done a game as the foot. And then I'm going to say this. It's 2019. I know this isn't progressive, but the natives are restless. Can I say that?
Wow. I don't. You sure. Can. You okay. Did.
You don't think that's too
yeah,
much?
It's already happened.
Are they restless because teenagers stare at them while they beat on a drum
no,
in a protest?
Wow, not appropriate.
Whoa.
Two sides to every
too
story.
Soon.
Yeah.
Too
geez.
Soon.
I'm just asking.
That was dark.
Asking the hard-hitting questions.
All right, here is the game. Are you guys ready for this?
Ready.
We are going to do a TV show theme song draft.
I like it.
Round robin style. If you're new to the show, this is a picking inane things. It's basically part of our charm, I think. Would you call it part of our charm, Nate?
I would call it that, yes.
Okay. So we debated about where to put it in the show, but we felt like right here was just perfect. So we're doing a TV song theme show draft on an outdoors podcast. There will be outdoors content eventually, but first.
I think this just kind of like primes people.
Did you say that backwards?
Yeah.
TV show theme song draft.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay.
I don't think so. Well, listen to that and post and fix it.
I think this kind of gets people like ready. Like they're like, come on, get to the outdoor stuff. And then when it finally comes, they're like, yes.
Right. See, and this resonates with them because we're going to talk about something they know. And we do a lot of recruiting of new hunters and new fishermen. And hopefully this, you know, you can tell your friend that doesn't hunt or fish, oh, at least listen to it for this segment. And then they get hooked. They don't even realize the next thing they know, they're buying a Beretta Super Black Eagle.
Beretta Super Black Eagle?
Yeah. Yep. I'm going to own that. It's a Benelli Super Black Eagle.
Yeah. I like to think also that we as hunters and fisher people are multifaceted and that we don't have to only talk about hunting.
That
and
is
fishing.
True.
We can like other things.
So
right.
We drew straws backstage and Nate
you
drew the short straw. I don't know how this happened.
I'm so good. But I'm so good at drawing the short straw.
The first annual inaugural TV show theme song draft.
I hate you. I hate you.
Cast and Blast Florida for the cure.
Okay. My pick could absolutely break the hearts of my co-hosts right now.
Okay.
I could pick a TV show that they both have probably number one on their list and just kind of move on with my life and not worry about it.
Yep.
But I'm not going to do that.
I respect the hustle.
I'm going to throw it back a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with the Dukes of Hazzard theme song.
Classic.
Wow. Can you sing a little bit of it?
Just a good old boy.
Yeah, that's classic right there.
Never meaning no harm.
Okay, that was good.
Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings.
The Waylon Jennings.
Come on.
No, Waylon Jennings. You millennial.
Oh, my gosh.
That's one of the greatest theme songs of all time.
Right?
Strong pick.
Yeah,
strong pick.
I had to go with it because man, I had it as my ringtone for a little bit.
Yeah,
especially like when my cousin called, and because we were just good old boys, never meaning no harm.
I think you could have been a little more progressive with your pick in 2019, but
you know, I like to swim against the current.
I see that. All right, Em, you get the second pick.
All right, I'm picking the obvious winner, which is the Fresh Prince. Bel Air theme song.
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
Well, this is a story all about how my life got. You know, I like to rap.
I do know that you like to rap. That's a good pick.
It's a fantastic.
I think I can rap that whole thing.
We totally could. The three of us could for sure.
I don't know that I could. I was not a big Fresh Prince
guy. I could probably do it by myself.
But y'all are a little younger than I am.
I won't. Don't worry, listeners. I won't.
Well,
maybe if they listen to the end. They'll get a little bit of you rapping.
A little snippet of Nate dropping.
We'll see.
Some hard beats. Okay, so I basically have my pick of everything I could ever want because neither one of those are on my list. I'm going new because I feel like Em's going to steal this, and I'm going with the Justified theme song.
That's not even on my list. How did I miss that?
Long Hard Times to Come by Gangsta Grass is just a cool song.
It is.
It would not be my number one pick, but I want to get it, and I was worried you were going to snipe it from me.
Doom, doom, doom.
Anyway, have you heard the song, Nate? It's a cool song.
I have not.
You should put it on
up.
Your playlist, even if you don't watch the show.
You would like it a lot. It's so different sounding.
It's a rapper and a bluegrass band.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so it's very eclectic.
Okay.
All right. What do you got? Second pick.
I can't believe it's still on the board.
Take it,
but I'm gonna do it.
It's you have to at this point
because it's my favorite. It's the office, right? It's the office. I mean, every time as soon as that piano starts playing, everybody in the world knows what that's from.
Is that the term? Is that ubiquitous? Is it the most ubiquitous theme song in the history of the world?
in the history of the world.
Yeah,
I
think it's
really
ubiquitous.
Sure,
I think that's the right word. I think I'm using that correctly. We'll double check. We'll get an editor or somebody to check that, a producer.
Okay.
That was number four on my list.
Really? It wasn't on my list.
Wow.
Not on my list at all.
Good.
All right, Em.
All right. My second pick. I feel like in honor of Kaylee, I should pick the Friends theme song, but I'm not going to.
I'll be there for you.
Yeah.
Nah,
clap, 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 clap.
I'll be there for you.
I am going to pick the Cops theme song.
Bad Boys, Bad Boys.
Oh, snap.
Bad Boys,
that's
bad
a great
boys.
Pick.
What you going to do? And then you go to the part where it's like, bah, 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 get the number, and it's like the weird accent.
So I have a question for you. When you pick the song, is it symbolic of the show, or is it because you just really like the song?
Honestly, I just throw back to when I was little, because I watched a lot more TV then, and I loved and feared the Cops theme song because the minor chords in it really scared me, honestly, but it is such a good song.
Okay, here's what I'm going to pick. Here's what I'm going to pick. You ready for this? And this, I shouldn't even pick any of these because they're not on either one of your lists, and I could pick these up as free agents after the draft.
Okay.
But I'm going to pick the Jeffersons.
How does that go? I don't know that one.
Moving on up
to a deluxe apartment in
the sky.
That is a good one.
Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Wheezy. Honky. It's a great show. Easy. Like, it's a great theme song. It's like, no, that may be Sanford and Sons. Anyway.
I think you're right. Yeah.
And wow, I get myself in a hole there. Nate, what do you want to pick?
Whoa. All right. all right, I'm gonna throw it back again to the early 90s.
Okay.
I grew up watching this show.
This is your last pick, right? We're only doing three.
This is my last pick. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And this is probably not on either one of your lists. I don't know this, but probably not. But I'm going Saved by the Bell.
Oh, that's a good one.
I almost had that on mine.
There's not a dude under the age of probably 45 that didn't have a crush on Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also simultaneously wonder, is Jessie hot? And if she's hot, why doesn't Zach make a move on her?
I wish the crazy hot matrix had existed back then, because she is too crazy and not enough hot.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think I agree with that.
I think by picking that, you also get I'm So Excited from when she sings it on the episode where she gets hooked on pills.
Oh, yeah.
Case in point.
That was a dark episode, Golly.
All right, Em, last pick.
Okay, my last pick is the theme song from Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was my next pick.
I thought I could sneak it in.
I've won the draft at this
point.
That
was solid.
But let me tell you a little story. When I was about maybe 16 or 17, we went to a new church with my parents, and I get real uncomfortable when churches do the shake your neighbor's hands thing and pass the plate and all that stuff.
Shake a hand, hug a neck.
Shake a hand, hug a neck. If you've never been here before, make sure you greet somebody. Like, it makes me real uncomfortable. So I get like the nervous laughs anyway. I laugh at inappropriate things. And this church started playing the Cheers theme song, and everyone was walking around singing, "Sometimes you wanna go where."
That's progressive.
Welcome. What's your name? Nice to have you, brother so-and-so. And I was laughing so hard. I had tears, and my mom was just like smacking me, like, straighten up, we're at church. And I love, every time I think about that theme song, I think about that moment.
I would have
so
laughed.
Awesome.
Okay. I would have laughed.
Cheers would have been my next pick, but you sniped it. And that was good.
Mm-hmm.
So my last pick, I've got to pick this one. I know no one's going to know this at all, but I'm going back to the early 80s. And young Travis, this was my jam, and this was my show. Have you heard of the show The Fall Guy?
No.
No, but you've talked about this before.
I'm going to tell you, The Fall Guy theme song is incredible. It talks about all the women that he films theme song, that he films movies with and stuff. It's just a classic show of my youth. I love that song. Nate has nothing to say.
Who sings it?
I mean,
he has no idea what I'm talking about
who
here.
Who sings it?
He has no reference, no point of reference, or anything else. Lee Majors was the Fall Guy. I think he died recently.
Who sings the theme song?
I have no idea. Hmm. I mean, I was young. I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew that was a show that had pretty girls, and he was a stuntman in Hollywood, and five-year-old Travis, like rodeo clown, stuntman, those were goals in life. If you could be one of those things.
That's some big time stuff.
So, okay. Did you have any that you wanted to mention that didn't get named?
Along the same line as Cheers, Frasier.
Yep.
Theme song.
Yep.
How does that one go?
If you wouldn't have asked me, I would have known it.
It doesn't matter.
I need to know.
No one's old enough.
Oh, baby, I hear the blues are calling.
Oh,
toss
yes,
salads
that's right.
And scrambled eggs. Yeah.
Good one, Nate.
The other one I had on my list was Game of Thrones for all the adults.
Sark.
Listening. It's really good. But, yeah.
Do you have any that didn't get mentioned?
I do. I would like to mention Full House. Whatever happened to
that's a good pick.
That's a good one.
Also,
that's a good one.
Magic School Bus.
Yes.
Best theme song ever. Cruising down a big street.
Miss Frizzle, was she hot or not?
She was hot.
I don't
think so.
She was so funny. How could she not be hot?
All right. What else? Anything else?
Well, I would like to end. I've clearly won, but just to pile on. Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island was on my list, and I'm surprised. I wanted to name it because that's the one that probably gets sung the most on my boat. that gets whistled a lot.
Tale of a Fateful Trip. Yes.
The Andy Griffith Show, the old fishing hole. That's especially for your family. Like that's your mom's jam.
Oh yeah, I mean they still watch it to this day. It's on Netflix, so they just kind of play it.
And the other one I had was the MASH theme song.
Yeah.
The song
that's
is called Suicide
Classic.
Is Painless.
It's okay. It was obvious.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. That's like a boring pick, though.
Can we congratulate me on winning this
draft? I think
you
might have won that draft.
Because I don't think I've ever won one before.
You haven't. Because we don't like to admit if you did or didn't, but.
I think, yeah, I'll give it to you.
Even without The Office, I won, and I feel pretty good about that. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
Okay. I hinted at the beginning of the show that we want to talk a little bit about the upcoming FWC meeting and kind of call this our FWC wish list episode. So what are some things we want to see FWC work on, like to see addressed? Some people have messaged me and been like, what happens at this commissioner's meeting? So let me unpack that for just a minute, and then we'll get into some discussions about some things that we'd like to see happen from the FWC front. These meetings are 2 days long. I think this one, I should have this in front of me. I think it's the 20th and 21st. And it'll start around 8 or 8:30 on the 20th. And they're in Gainesville this time. They move them around the state. I think they have 4 or 6 a year. And what this is the commissioners that are appointed by the governor will assemble and basically have a day of discussing hunting and a day of discussing fishing. And they'll put out an agenda. It's not out at the time of this recording, but they'll put out an agenda at some point. And we can get a copy of the agenda and figure out, you know, if you want to comment, if let's say the bear hunt's on the agenda or closing snook season's on the agenda, you can comment on those particular items. But then they also have an open section at the end of the first day where you can comment on anything you want, a public comment section. And the way that works is you sign up. When you get there, you can sign up to comment. You give your name, where you're from, all that stuff. And they give you, I think it's 2 minutes that you go up to the mic and you say what you want to say, and it is heard and it's on the record. And kind of is what it is. It's a good way to participate in the process. It's a good way to make sure your voice is heard. It's a good way to make sure there's no misconstruing an email or anything else. And I encourage everybody, if you can make one of these meetings in the course of a year, like I said, they move them around. The last one was in December in St. Augustine. Obviously, I couldn't make that in the middle of duck season. But just if you can get to one, please. And don't be afraid to stand up and say what you think and say what you'd like to see and participate. So,
Can I have a question about the public forums?
Sure.
Or what's it called at the end of the day where anybody can talk?
I think it's just called public comment.
Public comment. Does it have to be, like, if you're doing public comment on the hunting day, does it have to be hunting?
So the first day you can have public comment on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say we're going to talk about spraying in a minute, but let's say spraying's not on the agenda. You could talk about spraying in the public comment.
Okay.
So there's one day where they have public comment in the afternoon. They will open other discussions sometimes for public comments.
Oh, so it's only one of the 2 days.
So if there's day two, there's a special section where they discuss the bear hunt. At the end of that discussion, they may open that for public comments.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
These are the things that we kind of want to talk about and or see some maybe some movement on. The first one is spraying. Did you guys see what I shared this past week?
I did see that.
Yep.
We've put enough pressure on to where they're going to temporarily hold on spraying. Travis's 2 cents on this is a placebo and BS.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Because it's snail kite nesting season. At the last spray meeting we went to, they talked in depth about how they wanted to be done spraying by the end of January because it goes into snail kite nesting season. They don't like to spray during snail kite nesting season. So I think this is to basically shut up the public about the spraying.
But they were going to stop anyway?
Yep.
I think you're right. And I think I have that a picture of that graphic somewhere.
Yep.
Do you still have it?
I don't have it conveniently located, but I hate to be a naysayer or doubtful about it because it is exciting and I feel like now's the time to turn up the heat. But I think also looking at the science behind it, they're going to stop spraying now anyway because they don't want to do anything to endanger the snail kites, at least in the southern portion of the state.
Right. And then after snail kite stuff, doesn't bass season start? Mm-hmm. And they won't spray during that time either because the bass fishermen don't like it.
Yeah. There's also a guy online, Scott Wilson, who's been very involved in the spray battle. And he was talking about how in the next 3 weeks we've got several major bass tournaments being held in the state. Like major bass tournaments, you don't want to have
like BASS, FLW tour, like big time stuff,
like ESPN cameras and stuff. You don't want spray boats running around in the background of those.
No, that's true. Absolutely.
So,
because it looks bad, right?
Right.
So what, if it looks bad for a national camera, why is it good for the rest of the year? Like, that kind of mentality just blows me away.
Well, anyway. I think you have to take it with a grain of salt is, I guess, what I'm saying. Like, when I saw that, I was like, awesome. This is big time. We've put enough pressure on. They're starting to turn a little bit. But then after I got to thinking about it, I was like, well, wait a second. They said they were going to stop spraying now anyway. So,
but I feel like they do that every year. They stop spraying at a certain time and then kick it back up again.
Yeah, and it frustrated me because in the past 2 weeks, a mutual friend of ours, Nate, was fishing a little local lake that I think I'm the only person I know of that duck hunts it. It's a little tiny lake. It's very urban. And it's got beautiful hydrilla. I mean, gorgeous hydrilla. It looks like you're fishing in bottled water. And this lake used to be nasty. It used to be like pea soup green. And since that hydrilla's gotten in there and really, I mean, it's cleaned it. It's saved that lake. And now the fishing's great. Anyway, this guy was taken out and FWC had a boat there that was talking about surveying it for spraying. And I'm like, oh, why would you spray that lake? And they're like, well, we have to represent all the stakeholders. Now I'm going third party conversation here, right? This is hearsay.
Right.
But he asked, why would you spray this? Because he's a bass fisherman. He doesn't hunt at all. And he said, why would you spray this lake? We don't want you to spray it. And he said, well, we got to represent all stakeholders, all user groups of the lake. And he said, you have no idea who uses this lake then.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It is strictly a bass fishing lake that just started holding ducks in the last year or two.
Yeah, if it's the same lake I'm thinking about that you're talking about.
It is.
It's like you don't have people tubing and skiing in that
correct.
Lake.
It's not big
people
enough.
Going out for joy rides and stuff like that. No, it's not that big. And so you're not going to have a lot of that. You're going to have bass fishermen for the most part.
Right. So anyway, the spraying is a hot topic. I do believe there is an appropriate way to apply pressure about it. You know, it sounds like I'm running FWC down. Every person I've talked to in the invasive plant management group there has been thoughtful, respectful, like scientific approach. Like they're good people. They're qualified people. I think sometimes they're handcuffed in a bad system, but
right.
I don't want to sound like I'm trying to throw grenades or rocket launchers at them because this is not a war. This is not us versus them. This is, are there better solutions to solving the problem for the state? Are there better approaches for invasive plant management?
Right.
And I don't pretend to be a scientist either. Like I realize there are some very big complications within this discussion. It's bigger than a joking podcast where we talk about theme songs too, but it is important to go there, make sure your voice is heard or just by going and speaking up at these things. A lot of times you can have conversations in the hallway with the biologists, with the folks in charge of it and begin to peel back some of the layers on the onion to get to the bottom of what's happening here.
Comment. Absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I just pulled up the article and this one that I'm reading talks about glyphosate being linked to cancer. Have you read any of that?
Yeah. But again, I mean,
that's the same stuff that's in Roundup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
but I think you have to be careful with that. And I'm going to defend the spraying and FWC side for a second here. You have to be careful with that because there's so many chemicals they use and so many compounds they use. And then, you know, they're diluted down to some extent. I believe we're in you know, from working together in IT before, I like the terms tactical versus strategic. There's strategic decisions and there's tactical decisions. If you look at our last 20 years of spraying, we're constantly playing catch up. We're never able to catch up or defeat the invasive plants. So we need to come up with a different approach, a different management plan, a different way to do it. I don't love the idea of dumping chemicals into our water. I don't love the idea of removing a filtration out of our water. And I don't love the idea of killing stuff that adds more nutrients to an already oversaturated nutrient load in our water. So,
right. Yeah.
Seems like from a tactical standpoint, you could put a moratorium on spraying for some period of time, at least of certain species, i.e. hydrilla, and use it to leverage kind of a bad water situation.
That sounds right to me.
So that's oversimplified, but anyway, message me if you have some questions about that. I'd love to discuss it in more detail and or talk about it if you come to the commissioner meetings. So, and I'll be at the invasive plant management meeting February 6th for the Kissimmee chain. So that's going to be at the Osceola County Courthouse. So if you're going to be at that, shoot me a message and let's meet up.
Yeah, and show up and let your voices be heard.
Second hot topic, before we leave spraying affects fishermen. Spraying affects saltwater discharges because you talk about nutrient loads and you talk about nutrient feeding like we did on our Red Tide episode 49 back over the summer. Like right. This has a domino effect through the state. Talk about glyphosate. It's a phosphate being added to the system. Everyone should be paying attention to that spraying thing. It's not about duck hunting. Although, obviously, I'd love it if you never sprayed another thing because it would mean more duck food.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I get there's complexities to that, but I do think more people need to be paying attention to it. So
agreed.
Second thing, and Nate, you're more familiar with this than I am, but it's going to be discussed at these commissioner meetings about the bear hunt, the Florida black bear hunt.
Right. Yeah. So in 2015, Florida had its first bear hunt in 21 years. And in about 36 hours, we killed like 350 bears.
Okay.
Legally harvested, bought tags, that kind of thing. They didn't really have a cap on what they wanted to shoot.
It was a timed hunt only?
Yeah. Well, it was like, we're going to open it for like 2 weeks and kind of see what happens. But in the first 2 days, they killed, like, they capped it because they were like, this is enough. Like, we're good. And, you know, some of that had to do with public pressure, but a lot of it just had to do with just science, and they didn't want to overdo it.
Right.
So they capped it. And then it's come up to vote, I think, every year since then.
Yep.
And it's been voted down every year. Last year, 2018, it failed on a 4-3 vote, but this year it's going to come up again.
Right.
For a vote. And there's a little bit of optimism from the hunting community about this vote, and I think the science and what the biologists are saying is obviously pro hunting season,
right?
Pro bear.
Well, you've
hunt.
Talked about this before, right? Like, what's the reason you want to have a bear hunt? Just it goes back to the New Jersey thing, right? You're gonna have more.
Yeah, you're gonna have a ton of bears and more human bear interactions that people don't want. Bears getting into trash cans, bears showing up at kids' parks, like, you know, bears walking through your backyard.
And then what happens? You got to hire somebody.
Yeah. And then you call FWC and say, hey, I got this bear that's harassing my family because he's in my garbage can. He's in my backyard. And they come out and either try to trap it and remove it, or it gets euthanized. Yep. I mean, that.
And they got to hire a professional to do that, which they
exactly,
pay.
Which the state is paying people to go take care of these things. When the state can actually make money,
right,
that goes back into conservation, back into the wildlife, back into keeping bears around, by the way, in a bear hunt. I mean, you can pay, I don't know, make it like $200 a tag. I don't know. Make it something expensive, right? I mean,
an alligator tag is $228 or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Make it $300. Make it a $300 tag. Well, and sell, you know, 400 tags.
I agree with that. And
that's a ton of money that goes back
question?
Into bear hunt, bears, back into saving bears and keeping bears around.
Right. I was just thinking back to the episode where we had David Mizajewski on.
Yep. From NWF, National Wildlife Federation.
Yeah. And he was talking about the reason that even though he's not a person who would shoot an animal, he understands how hunters play the role of the predator is because as society has become what society is, we've cast out predators, natural predators in the chain. And so I was like, what would be a predator for a black bear in Florida? I can't even think of anything.
Yeah.
There is, they don't have any predators.
Right.
I mean,
they're going to
have
to open the season just for like public safety at some point.
Well, not public safety because they're not, these are not grizzly bears. But I get what you're saying. I think to me where it got bungled the first time was they didn't say, I think the way that we do the alligator program is incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
You draw a permit for Lake Toho, or you draw a permit for Polk County, or you draw a permit for Osceola County, or you draw a permit for Lake Kissimmee, or, you know, like the way they've split it up. And if you get if you get a county permit, you can hunt anywhere in the county except those named lakes.
Right.
If you get a named lake permit, you can only hunt on those named lakes. The way they did the bear hunt last time statewide was a PR disaster.
Absolutely. They mismanaged that entire thing.
And I think,
in my opinion, yeah.
My hope is the state learned a lot in how they handled it. So you could then come up with a statement that says we need to kill, you know, 15 bears in Highlands County or 25 bears in Glades County, 100 bears in Ocala, whatever, like some way of determining using science that this will manage that population in a way so that we don't have those human bear interactions growing at the same rate that we do today and is sustainable and could lead to some kind of revenue stream for the state.
Right. Yeah. And I think because people make the arguments like, oh, nature will take care of itself, right? If we just let them, you know, nature's going to figure it out. Well, no, because humans have imposed on nature so much that we have thrown off the balance of this whole nature can take care of itself thing.
Right.
Now, if we remove all of a sudden, like snapped our fingers and removed all the houses.
Right. We took 20 million people out of Florida.
And then, yes, nature would probably work itself out. But now that, you know, in like North Orlando, basically where all these people live, that's where they're having a ton of bear problems.
Yep.
A ton of bear problems. And, you know, eventually a bear is going to snag a dog or a cat. I mean, it's going
to
happen.
I don't plan to discuss this at the meeting, but I do think it's something that there are people smart enough and informed about. And it may be something if you live in those areas, like it's something you need to talk about. This is your chance to talk about it, to bring it
Absolutely.
Up. Absolutely. You know, tackle it and approach the commission again with respect and with they got a job to do and they got a lot of stakeholders to appease, but this seems like one that's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree.
All right. I got a no-brainer for you guys. And this wasn't on your show notes I sent over. I forgot it. What is our number one most contentious thing that we have every duck season in Florida?
The people who live near lakes get mad?
No.
We
have a segment on this show and a t-shirt dedicated to it.
The model thing?
Oh, it's duck identification.
Yeah. Do you even model, bro? State of Texas, friend of the show, Chad Andrews. Is he getting an associate producer credit at this point? Like, we've mentioned him a lot.
I feel like he should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Associate producer, Chad Andrews, sent me... Texas has what they call the dusky duck rule.
Dusky duck rule, okay.
The dusky duck rule says that a model duck, a black duck, a Mexican duck, or hybrids therein, you get one per day.
Interesting.
So, I think, and this is something I want to say to the commission, I think we should look at adopting a dusky duck rule.
I agree.
I think for the state of Florida, it should be a model duck, a mallard hen, a black duck, or any hybrids therein. You get one per day. If a greenhead mallard comes in, it counts as a mallard.
Right.
But there's no more of this going out and shooting, you know, model ducks with a thin white line above the speculum. And I've done it just like everybody else has because the law is so ambiguous right now. It's not doing anyone any favors, including FWC's officers.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Like there's, it's just confusing.
Because no one really knows. Like you can look at a duck. One person could look at a duck and say, oh, that's a model. You could show it to the same duck to another person and say, oh, that's a hybrid. And it's just like, it's so ambiguous, like you said.
Yep.
And I feel like if it looks like a mallard model black hybrid, it counts.
I agree. If it's got a green head, it counts as a green head Drake.
Right.
But beyond that, everything else you get one. What do you think?
Works for me.
So I've seen people say, well, if it's 90% modeled, it should count as a model. How the heck are you coming up with
what?
That? Like what?
Or do you have like a test kit in your boat where you got a lab and you pull the blood sample?
Are we
like,
looking at the tail curl? Are we looking at the bill? Are we looking at the speculum? Like is it?
Because the only way to really tell is actually like get in there and actually test the duck, right?
Exactly. Do DNA testing and
like
who's going to do that?
DNA testing. You can't do that in the blind.
Uh-uh. So let's remove that obstacle because I think that's a confusing thing to so many hunters. That would just simplify it. And P.S., Quit telling us you shot a black duck in Florida. Like,
it ain't
happening. I want to throat punch you when you say that.
It ain't happening.
Yeah. Maybe one or two a year, but it ain't as common as folks seem to think it is. So the dusky duck rule.
I like it.
Hopefully coming soon. The last thing I think I want to talk about is the three R's. You familiar with the three R's?
Yeah, I am.
Recruit, retain, reactivate. And we talked about those. So we've done as a show quite a bit to hopefully introduce newcomers to hunting and fishing. And we continue to push on that. We're continuing to try to recruit it every way we can. And the state, the FWC, they have their own 3R board or program.
Yeah, it's like a nationwide thing. It's a kind of a lot of states have it. A lot of states have their own like R3 thing.
What is the top way of communicating in this day and age, Emily?
Dancing.
No, like how does information get disseminated in this day and age?
The media's.
Social media, right?
Unfortunately, yes.
So yes. I went to my FWC's Instagram page. They have 56,000 followers. Right? That's a solid, respectable following.
Yeah. That's not bad.
In the last calendar year, how many duck hunt pictures do you think they have?
Three.
Emily?
What was the question?
How many duck hunt pictures do you think my FWC has on their Instagram page in the last year?
None.
They have one.
Oh.
From last youth day, last year. 2018.
Okay, so basically a year ago.
They have seven panther pictures.
Everybody loves panthers.
They have three coyote pictures. They have seven manatee pictures. It feels like they have about 700 turtle pictures. I didn't count them because there's so many of them, both sea turtle and gopher tortoise.
There's a lot of them.
They had three whale pictures. What whale? Like,
we don't get a lot of whales.
Like whales. Like not Las Vegas gambling whales, like whales. Like Free Willy type whales.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I would like to see, I say this with some trepidation, but it feels a little bit like we're bordering into some California type territory with the way we market our wildlife commission.
Yeah.
We're not
like
really leaning into hunting and fishing, which are two of the tent poles of the
basically how FWC makes their money,
how they get funded. Like
literally, that's how they get funded.
Right. I don't see
by a huge margin. It's not even close. It's not even close.
I don't see people buying bird watching licenses. I don't see people buying manatee watching licenses. I don't see, and I'm not knocking any of that stuff, but
no. Yeah, absolutely. But
I'm saying give us some lean into the other stuff.
Right.
So
yeah, if you want to talk about catering to all the voices, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's try to take care of your biggest voices first.
Yep.
And then kind of take care of everything else. Because it's very wildlife-y. Just kind of just general wildlife. Not even like
it's
hunting wildlife. It's just like wildlife in general. And it's kind of strange to me.
It's very strange to me, too.
It's a strange thing.
And I'm all for making people aware of invasives. I'm all for making people aware of good busts. Like when they do a good bust, they'll celebrate that out there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely we should. I just think I'd like to see some more, any nod in the direction of waterfowl hunting, deer hunting, small game hunting.
Right.
Youth in the outdoors. Even fishing. Is super limited compared to the other stuff.
Yeah.
So, and that's synonymous with our economy just about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
Hopefully we'll see you guys at the FWC Commissioners meeting February 20th, 21st in Gainesville. And hopefully this gives you a good idea of some talking points and what to expect.
Travis, what is your release?
Nate, do you still watch the NFL?
A little bit. I watched some playoff games.
Okay. I quit the NFL after all the anthem stuff. Like, without getting into the politics, I just was like, I don't need this in my life.
Right.
So I dropped the NFL. And a lot of people on social media were like, I'm done with the NFL. But it seemed like last week when the Saints and the Patriots and all those games were going on, people were like all about the NFL on social media.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you notice this? Like, there was a lot of noise about it. Y'all, this game is ridiculous. Like, the play at the end of the Saints-Rams game where the dude ran into the other dude with his helmet.
And the pass interference that he missed.
Yeah.
That the refs
missed.
What
I'm talking about.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
You're watching a game that is, like, so absurd at this point. That people don't know what to catch anymore. People don't know what's... I saw that highlight because it's on... We don't have ESPN. We don't have cable anymore. But I saw that highlight because it was on the internet so much being talked about. I'm like, why are you wasting your time with this? So I'm re-releasing the NFL.
Re-releasing the NFL.
Dang.
Like, when the NFL, like, people get into a scrum over a fumble, and then some line judge comes running in off the sideline and, like, puts his foot down with definitive authority, like, this is where the ball was. That's BS. That ball wasn't there. He's making it up. He doesn't really know. And you're putting all your faith and you're buying jerseys and stuff for these millionaires to go do this thing. It's just, the whole premise is absurd. Watch baseball.
Watch other millionaires doing another ball related activity.
I like all types of sports ball.
That's not what it's called. Anyway, I'm done with the NFL again. Still, repeatedly, additionally. Emily, do you have a release?
So my release is kind of serious this week. A teacher at our son's school in Central Florida found out that her son has a brain tumor. And so they have a GoFundMe set up.
It's an inoperable tumor.
Yeah.
Like it's a bad, bad situation.
Yeah. But we don't talk about it, but we serve a big God and we can certainly help these people try to cover these expense of this flight. So we're going to link to the GoFundMe on our show notes, castandblastfl.com, and you can find it also on Trav's social media and my social media if you have $5 to go help these people. And wouldn't you want it if it was your kid? So
yeah, people look at GoFundMes and they're like, oh, that person contributed $100, that good person contribute. You don't have to do $20, you don't have to do $100. $5 is a huge, because it adds up, like it's the power
right.
of the power of a magnitude. So
yeah, sorry to be a downer, but that's
Debbie
real
downer.
Life
man. I all my releases sound super petty and stupid.
So. You want to skip straight to keeps then?
Yeah, we'll
okay.
roll on to
we'll
keeps.
Roll on
yeah,
to keeps.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what do you got, Nate?
I'm keeping a product that I picked up the other day. It's the Gunslick Pro Foaming Bore Cleaner.
Okay.
Oh.
Have you ever used this stuff before?
I haven't.
No, it's great. It comes in a can. Looks like this for all our listeners to see.
Oh, wow.
That's great video.
And no,
it looks
it's
like
great.
Carb cleaner.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, but it's bore cleaner, and you shake it up, and you stick it in the barrel, and you spray it, and it just foams up and gets real, like, expands really all the way down your barrel, and you just let it sit for, like, 15 minutes, and then you wipe it out with some patches, and your barrel has never looked cleaner, I promise
you. So it's like scrubbing bubbles.
Yeah, but for guns.
I was just like, can I use that on my toilet bowl?
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, what else would that work on? That's pretty cool. And
it's
safe
cool
for
deal.
Metal, so you could use it on a lot of stuff in the boats and stuff.
Yeah, removes copper and powder residue.
That's big time.
Yeah, spray it, wait 15 minutes, and then patch it out.
Nice.
And it's great.
Hmm.
Keep?
Oh, my keep is a game we got our kids for Christmas, so.
This is not a keep.
I liked it.
Oh, this is a terrible keep.
Okay, so if you've heard of the card game Exploding Kittens, I know we've played that.
Right.
That same manufacturer has made another game called Bears versus Babies, and
okay.
it's got really cute packaging. Like it's furry, like a bear. Well, we had to do bears because we were talking about bears.
Absolutely. No, I'm not rubbing my head.
So you build these bear armies and they're completely ridiculous. And then you get babies to attack them. And there's all these rules about how the babies beat the bears or the bears eat the babies. It's really funny and really fun.
All right.
I hate that game.
Travis only likes games he can win.
No, because I've never wanted Exploding Kittens, but Exploding Kittens is a fun game. It's quick. It's
easy.
Oh, it's
a blast. Yeah.
This game could never end. Like a single hand could take like 12 hours. It's like,
so it's like Monopoly sort of?
It's like,
but
yeah, it's like Monopoly Crossword World Series of
he
poker.
He was in the worst mood of his life the night we played it. And
I
it
think
could
I'd
not,
been on about 15 duck hunts in a row.
It could not have been any worse.
Anyway.
But I had a great time.
I'm out on her. I would like to release her keep. Can I do that?
You frequently do. It's fine.
My keep is the youth weekend. We have one weekend left. Please, dear God, let there be some ducks. Like, we've got less ducks now than we had 3 weeks ago when we had no ducks. Like,
yeah.
the reverse migration has started.
Well, they're not coming to Georgia because it's too cold for them here, I promise
well,
you.
Well, we had the reverse. We had the south wind. Like, these fronts are coming in, and we're getting, like, heavy south winds. And when you get that, the birds will move. They'll move north.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Dude, it's just like, give me a freaking break. But I've got a good group of Boy Scouts that are going on their first duck hunt youth weekend. So
Oh, cool.
You guys keep your fingers crossed. I would just love for, you know, a few divers to cooperate, or some really, really, really stupid models to come sit down, or something, something to go right, so these boys are able to, you know, get their first birds. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Youth weekend.
And then you can keep duck season ending.
Yes.
Yeah. Youth weekend is literally one of my favorite weekends, though. My son, we started the tradition a couple years ago. He goes with me and works. You went with us last year.
I did, yeah.
Is he your fisherman's assistant?
He's my fisherman's assistant on the youth hunt. But he gets to hunt, too, and we'll go do some dad-son hunts and eat a bunch of junk food, and it'll just be awesome. So it's one of my favorite hunts, though, because you're not worried about limits. You're just out there hanging out.
Having a good time, yeah.
But you want limits because you want those kids to have just an awesome day.
Right, exactly, yeah, so. Exactly.
All right, that's it.
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Clap them duck cheeks. Thanks for listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, where we'll be there for you. Clap, 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 clap. For more info on the meeting schedules and agendas for FWC, or to donate to the GoFundMe for our friend whose little one is sick, check out our show notes at castandblastfl.com. If you like our show, would you please leave us a review on iTunes? You might get a mention as a friend of the show in a future episode. Later.